The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So, good evening again. So last night, I found myself being very tired, but when I looked at the clock, it wasn't quite the time to go to sleep. And so then I thought, oh, I just kind of unthinkingly picked up my phone and thought, oh, I'll just look at the news. Like, what a terrible idea, right? Just this recognition, like, oh, instead of just getting ready for sleep or doing whatever, to pick up something that's agitating. And then I did remember, like, oh, yes, I have this aspiration to be a little bit more intentional about all areas of my life, really supporting some peace and well-being. And scrolling one's phone at night does not support that. I think you all know this. So I just put the phone down and then started, my evening routine. Like, doesn't matter what the clock says. It feels like it's time to sleep. So I'm going to do that. So I'm going to talk about this a little bit tonight, this way of how maybe having a clear aspiration can guide us. For me, it was just to have more and more areas of my life that are really supporting a sense of peace and ease as best I can. But in addition, how maybe there's a little bit of resolve, this sense of, okay, and I'm going to not only have it be an aspiration, but to have this sense that I'm going to turn towards this and allow it to support my life. And this recognition that sometimes this resolve to turn towards our aspiration requires that we let go of some things, even some things that might be enjoyable. I give the example of the phone. There is something enjoyable about like feeling the outrage. It's terrible, right? And just the things that are on the phone, there's like, it's a way that gets us engaged. Otherwise, we wouldn't pick it up if there wasn't something about it that often can grab us. So this idea, like, what is it that motivates us? What is our aspirations? And as I mentioned in the guided meditation, an aspiration more has this feeling of openness, has this feeling of ease, as opposed to like wanting, which kind of has, like, I even did this with my body. Wanting has a little bit leaning forward and a little bit like, yeah, I gotta get that. I gotta get it. As opposed to finding a North Star that can guide us or be, help us orient in a way that's going to support our life. So some aspirations might be just having some well-being and happiness in our life and turning towards what supports that, what helps create the conditions for well-being and happiness. Or maybe it's to be of service, to help support people, others, to have well-being and happiness, or to be the change we want to see in the world. Or maybe there's something wanting to find some awakening, some more peace, ease, and freedom. Or, I don't know, there's like, it's, we can have an unlimited number, just as many as people there are, perhaps. So no sense that you have to find a particular answer or know what it is, but it can be helpful to be open to be sensitive to, like, what is it? Maybe at the end of our life that we would feel like, oh yeah, this was nice that I kind of oriented my life as best I can or could in that direction. It can be really helpful. So then, as beautiful or inspiring that aspirations can be, it doesn't mean that we're always oriented towards them, or we get tired, we forget, we get busy, our life gets We get seduced by smaller little goals or that seem more immediately achievable and maybe have a certain amount of satisfaction. So part of the question is, okay, we have aspirations, but then what helps us to remember them? What helps us to return to them? And I'll use this word resolve, some resolve to go with aspirations. And I want to unpack this a little bit because the Buddha, he gave some guidance on this idea of resolve. Is this steadfastness, this resoluteness, perseverance, persistence. But what's fascinating is this is not this harsh, grinding determination that maybe many of us know, having had to, you know, use that to get through some difficult times or to finish really big projects at work or at home or whatever it might be, our education. So adhidhana is the Pali word for resolve, adhidhana. And it's not this harsh, grinding determination. Instead, it's more like a gentle wind on your back that keeps saying, you care about this. Keep going. So it's more like a gentle friend who's encouraging you, rather than with this, you know, whip, you know, trying to whip us into action or something like this. For some people, being steadfast is one of their strengths. And so for them, the edge of their practice might be a little bit different. It might be to not push to the point of drudgery, you know, to not like just keep on going or not to cut oneself off from others because, nope, I can't talk to you. I can't do this. You know, I have to finish this, whatever it is. And there's a way in which we can isolate and feel like, oh, this project is so important. But we're often, maybe we don't even recognize it. Sometimes we might be using that as a way to distract ourselves or avoid others or avoid other things in our lives. We just do project after project after project. Asan Goenka, some of you might be familiar, has Vipassana retreats in a maybe sister lineage than this one. And he tells a story about you can dig 10 wells, each well 1 foot deep, and you'll never reach water. Or you can dig one well 10 feet deep, and you'll reach water. So if you stay with this one place and patiently dig a well, 1 teaspoon at a time. We don't have to have big, heavy shovels and this manual, terrible manual labor. Just 1 teaspoon at a time. 1 moment at a time. So this is adhidhana, this willingness to stay with this aspiration. And maybe to go deep enough so that what matters or what's real or what's really supportive begins to flow, we can contact and touch that. And of course, I talked about in the guided meditation is a little bit about, you know, our practice, and I put it in context of our whole life. But having an aspiration and some adhidhana, some resolve, isn't only for this, of course. It's for all areas of our lives. Maybe volunteering, bringing some of our aspirations or into the world and showing up even when we don't really feel like we want to, but we made a commitment. So the way in which we are, you know, using our life energy. Or maybe it's relationships. If we want our primary intimate relationship or all of our relationships to be as rich and nourishing as possible, maybe some resolve is to help us hang in there and have difficult conversations rather than 3 days of avoidance, but instead just to authentically show up, even though it's uncomfortable to say some of these things that need to be said in relationships. Maybe that's part of the way that resolve shows up. And if our aspiration is to have rich and nourishing relationships, or maybe it's just about your health. For me, this was years ago, but I was doing some physical therapy, and the physical therapist, you know, sent me home with this little sheet of these exercises that you should be doing, I should be doing, you know, regularly. And, you know, I did them regularly for a little while, and then I just noticed I wasn't doing them anymore. And I remember this so clearly, a friend of mine asking me, why aren't you doing those? Like, just kind of matter-of-factly. And I thought, I don't have no good reasons. And just, I don't know, that just kind of like touched me. Like, yeah, why am I not doing this? It's important for me to have a body that works as well as it can. So why am I not doing those physical therapy exercises? So, but this way maybe of doing some of things that maybe seem boring or uncomfortable or aren't immediately satisfying. Let's say that. But it's a way that helps us to dig a well, one teaspoon at a time. This that serves this maybe this deeper wish for as healthy as we can be, given the limits of these human bodies that we have. So adhidhana, resolve, it's not stubbornness. There's this way in which stubbornness sometimes is this, we have this tunnel vision and it has to be done my way. And it's not associated with this openness or spaciousness that following an aspiration has. It's also not like a theater where we have to show others like, okay, look what I can do, or maybe we're secretly trying to prove something to somebody. There was a time in my life, this was when I was in my early 20s, I definitely felt like, oh, I have to prove something, just my life circumstances, and that really just, you know, drove me. But wow, that was a terrible way to live too, just this tight, contracted, you know, feeling like I have to prove something here. So it's also maybe in the same way we could describe that. It's not like resentment fueled effort. Sometimes there is this quiet way, and it's like, I'll show them. That's underneath what's powering our effort or our repeated showing up. So instead, resolve is, as I said, like this quiet wind behind your back that says, I care about this. I'm going to keep going. And I'm using this expression, one teaspoon at a time, as we're digging this well. Because shoveling is hard work. Maybe sometimes there will be shovels involved, but there's a way, if we always think it has to be a shovel, then we'll often shy away from it. So adhidhana, resolve, is this perseverance, but it has this warmth, and maybe it has this perspective. It remembers why we care, because we have this aspiration. It remembers why we're coming back to this, whatever it is that we've chosen we want to do. So some of you will know that adhidhana, resolve, is the eighth parami. The paramis are these collection of practices, and often called like perfections is how it gets translated into English. And these are wholesome qualities that are most often, not exclusively, but most often done off the cushion and in our daily life as a way, is just as general practice or general support for our spiritual life in general. And it's as this parami, the tradition holds that there's these four supports for resolve. One is wisdom. Just maybe remembering what truly leads to ease, what truly leads to what is important to us. And the little example that I gave in the beginning, in the evening, remembering that, oh yeah, that rest is worth more than just the stimulation and the agitation of being on one's phone. So just kind of the wisdom of remembering. And then the second quality that is a support is truth. And maybe it's related to wisdom. One way we can interpret it is staying true to what we already know. Chances are we know the things that are getting in the way of our aspiration. We know these things that aren't so helpful. So is this maybe true? Truth we could understand is like, let's not pretend that we don't know that eating lots of cookies leads to not a good feeling, or I don't know, all these things that we do that we know that aren't the best for us, but we do them nevertheless. So wisdom, truth. The third one is relinquishment. This idea of, well, maybe I'll read this quote from the Dhammapada. If you see a greater happiness that comes from forsaking a lesser happiness, be willing to forsake the lesser happiness for the sake of the greater one. I just appreciate this. This is like so obvious. Like, okay, there's something that might be mildly pleasant, but it's not going to be a source of happiness. Can we let some of those things go towards and for what's going to be really support a life that we want? So it often means resolve, often means having to let go of things that don't support us. And can we do this in a way that is not chastising ourselves, but just saying, yeah, you know, this really doesn't help me lead the life I want to live. Doesn't help me with the aspiration I have. I'm going to create the conditions in which I'm doing less of this. But it's this way that we're doing this in the service of something better. Maybe in this example I gave last night, putting the phone in the other room or just putting it down and going to the other room, something like this. And then the fourth one as a support for resolve is peace. So valuing just a calm, unruffled mind, valuing enough to protect it. Because no matter what our aspirations are, having a calm mind will be a support for this. Maybe we have an aspiration to really have a full meditation practice. Or maybe it's just to stay open to what life is bringing us and not closing down or deflecting. Sometimes we spend a lot of energy just, you know, armoring ourselves up. Maybe we have just an aspiration to be a little bit more soft and permeable in some kind of way. So whatever our aspiration is, having a calm, unruffled, unagitated mind will be a support, is helpful. So these four supports for resolve, wisdom, truth, relinquishment, and peace. I offer one interpretation of wisdom, one for truth, one for relinquishment, and one for peace, but you might find your own way. Like, what is a way to understand wisdom? How can you bring wisdom, your own wisdom, what you already know, to support you for your aspirations? And so maybe I'll just offer with one this week. Is there just one area of your life that you can let your aspiration touch it. Or maybe there's an aspiration that becomes known. We don't have to dig for them. We're just creating the conditions in which they might arise, and they might become known. I'm using the passive language here instead of saying like, okay, you have to go out and find it. Instead, just tuning into or creating the conditions in which there can be some openness. And then maybe there's a way in which there's an aspiration. Can we name it clearly? And then ask, what is one gentle, steady way I can keep showing up? I can keep showing up for that aspiration. So we could say that aspiration points the way. Resolve maybe walks the way. And maybe step by step, happiness follows. Peace follows. A sense of well-being follows by being aligned with what's important for us. By being in tune with what's important for us. So I'll end there, and I'll offer another set of questions you guys to explore. So for this one, this image of digging one deep well as opposed to many shallow wells, how did you relate to that? Does it make sense to you? Is there a way that also, is there a bodily experience? Does it feel like, ugh, it feels like so much work, I don't want to do it? Which is perfectly fine, right? We get to bring our whole humanity to this. We don't have to pretend to be something that we're not. Or is there an area of your life where you sense an invitation to maybe dig deeper rather than start something new? And maybe is there a way that you have some ideas of what that would mean to dig deeper, even if it is, as I said, with a teaspoon rather than a big shovel? And then also, I talked about this idea of aspiration, having some openness and spaciousness, and wanting, having this closedness. So maybe you have an experience in your life, or maybe there's a way, even now when you think about it, that you can feel the openness versus the closedness, so between aspiration and wanting. And maybe to talk about what helps you tell the difference between a desire or a good idea, or maybe even, for me, when I use this word goal feels a little bit more like, okay, something I'm supposed to do. And maybe that's from my professional life. I had lots of goals as part of my job. But maybe, so for me, I have this word goal is a little bit more tight, but aspiration feels inspiring, which has a different feeling. So if you wanted to talk about what's the feeling in the body between wanting goals and versus aspiration, and this idea of digging one well deeper. So two different ideas. In the small groups, you can talk about both or talk about one. And of course, making sure everybody has time to talk. And we'll have about 15 minutes. We'll do this, and then we'll come back to the larger circle. So now just some reflections you'd like to share for the larger group. What was it like to talk about this? No, nobody wants to do. What was it like to talk about this idea of aspiration and resolve in the small group? And this idea of tying it to the bodily experience of openness or versus contraction or closed or something like this. Anybody have anything they'd like to share? Scott knows what to do. Maybe the battery is...
Oh. So there might be a bad setup.
I was socially nervous about goals. It's just something that I've really struggled with, or aspirations even. I like the emphasis kind of on the gentle feeling that is helpful or supportive of aligning our actions with our aspirations. And I think one thing that's made me uncomfortable with goals is that kind of contracted somatic feeling. It's kind of icky. And then we also tried to sort of reconstruct what you'd said.
Reconstruct?
Because sometimes the pace or whatever, I need to like review again at the end. So I'll stop.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for saying that it sometimes goals just feels uncomfortable. Maybe even this whole idea of aspirations feels uncomfortable. And I wanted to leave room for that too. Because I don't know, I don't feel like I can touch into these things on demand, right? It's more when they arise. But I just wanted to send a encouragement to incline oneself that direction. And then maybe one other thing I'll say. It's fascinating, right? This idea about goals, that goals are helpful. It's useful. Is that true? And I don't know, right? It's just something for all of us to explore. Like, when are they oppressive and restrictive? And when are they supportive and helpful? Whereas the way that I'm defining aspiration is, I'm assuming it's helpful by definition. If it's not helpful, it's not an aspiration, is what I would say. Anybody else have something they'd like to say before we close for this evening?
Well, I really appreciated the simile for resolve being just like a kind wind at your back, because that's such a different way of conceiving of it that I think makes it seem like it could be sustainable for a lifetime, whereas that kind of sense, the idea of the typical English translation of resolve is something much more like hanging on by your fingernails sometimes, which does not feel sustainable for your lifetime. So I'm going to be thinking about that image, that feeling a lot.
Thank you. In some ways, I like the Pali word because aditana, it just sounds nicer, aditana, as opposed to resolve. Okay, so thank you. Thank you for your practice and for engagement with the Dharma in this way. It's lovely. It's very lovely. So thank you, and I wish you a lovely rest of the evening and safe travels home. Thank you.